Welcome, everyone. Let's go ahead and get started. Appreciate you joining in. And today we're going to talk about the path to ticket sales management. So I'm going to go ahead and share my desktop with you now, and we'll get going. Okay. All right, so my name, for those of you that don't know me, my name is Bob Hamer. I'm the president of Sports Business Solutions. Our company does a lot of sales training, consulting, and recruiting for sports teams and sports properties. We also work with a lot of college students, sports management programs, and we have some career services that are set up to help people get jobs working in sports. But the central mission of my company is to really help people succeed in sports business. And so these webinars, I've done three of these now, and I'm going to continue doing them simply to try to educate people in the industry on different topics out there in sports business. And it's my hope that you get some good value out of these sessions. And it's something that you can use in your day-to-day that can help you in your career here moving forward. But I appreciate all of you being here. Today, we're going to talk about the path to ticket sales management. So I wanted to do this topic. I do a lot of training, a lot of travel, a lot of consulting. I work with a lot of teams. And one of the most common questions that I get is, you know, how do you become a manager? How do you get into ticket sales management? What's the path? How do you do it? When to do it? How long should you be a seller? How long should you be waiting before you start applying for those jobs? And I would say the path is different for everyone. So I thought, because it was such a hot topic, I really wanted to get onto a webinar and really kind of talk through sort of some of the things that happened for me in my journey, some of the things that I've seen, and walk you through some steps that I think are important to getting a job in ticket sales management, if that's something of interest for you. Very, very quickly, my story, my background, from California, went to school at the U of A, Arizona, out in Tucson. Graduated in 2006 and started my career in sports right after graduation with the Phoenix Suns. So started with the Suns in 06, started in inside sales, spent 8 years in total with the Suns, went from inside sales to a group ticket AE, sold groups for 4 years, became the group sales manager, group sales director, then became director of all ticket sales, senior director of sales and service, and eventually became the vice president of sales and service at the Suns. So over the course of 8 years, had a great ride at the Suns, loved it, and left in the summer of 2014, almost 2 years ago, to start my own company, Sports Business Solutions. And I kind of already mentioned a little bit about what we do there. So I want to talk about this topic, and I wanted to give you that quickly because I've experienced this firsthand. I went from someone that was selling and that had good success as a salesperson to going through the transition of becoming a manager and doing it internally with a team where I was peers and friends with a lot of people on staff, and then eventually I became their boss. And so I certainly experienced a lot of these challenges here firsthand. And so for me, I wanted to share some of the things that I did along the way that helped me kind of get that role in ticket sales management and eventually allowed me to keep growing my career. But I wanted to give you a couple quick things on my background. So let's get going. Path to ticket sales management. Step one for me, and I tell this to everybody that I talk to, is you got to focus on the now. And what I mean by that is you got to be great at your current role first. And so going into a position, it's trying to be really focused on the job description and what you're being asked to do. So you got to be crystal clear on how you're going to be evaluated. You got to be really certain that what you're doing each day is, I mean, you're not only getting better, but you're producing results and you're doing the things that are going to set you up for success long term. And so I talk to a lot of people that, you know, are mid to bottom performers at their team. And I always say it's very difficult to justify taking on more responsibility if you're struggling with doing your current job right now. And so before you do anything, you start thinking about management, you start looking too far ahead, I think you want to be really, really good at your current role first and find a way to stand out and be a leader on your current staff. And so for those of you following along on the presentation, I've got a couple of them listed here. So defining expectations, sticking to your job description. If you're in a sales role right now, you got to hit your goals and you got to do it the right way. And you got to make it a focal point every day to try to come in, lead by example, bring a positive attitude, work to perfect your craft. So always, you know, practice and take on new challenges and try to do everything that you can to be great in your current position and really lead by example and lead with the results that you produce. I also have on here, follow your leader. So your boss, whether you're in inside sales or you're an AE right now, or you're a senior AE, your boss is a huge part of you getting to that next step. And so you want to be really close to your current boss and follow their lead. Oftentimes, they're not shy about telling you what's most important. So in your mind, you have a good idea of how you're going to be measured and what's important to your boss. And if you're focusing on the things that he or she wants you to do, and you're doing it well and you're leading by example, it's valuable for them because they can point to you as an example of what to do. And you're going to already start to develop some of those leadership characteristics just by leading by example. And so you want to be present in the short term. Don't think too far ahead. If you think like, hey, I just kind of got to go through this for a couple years and then I'll get into management. You got to enjoy the short term. You got to enjoy the journey. And you got to focus everything you have on being great at your current role. And if you are, and you separate yourself relative to your peer group, then you'll get promoted, whether it's going from inside sales to an AE, whether it's AE to senior account executive, whether it's, you know, associate manager, you'll start to just naturally grow. And if you're producing results and you're doing it the right way. So step one is focus on being great at your current job and doing it consistently. It's not just do it for a year, get promoted, do it for a year, get promoted. I mean, you got to consistently do it year in, year out. And I think, you know, selling for 3 or 4 years is probably that sweet spot. For me, I sold full time for 4 years before I got into management. And another reason why this can help you, if you're going to effectively train and teach people how to sell, it's important that you do it at the highest level yourself. You're going to have great credibility built when you sit with your team. You say, here are some of the things that I did, and here's how I was able to be successful. And you're passing along a lot of that knowledge of things that you did along the way. And I think the more that you sell, not only are you going to get better as a salesperson, but you're going to start to build more of that credibility. And it's going to be helpful for when you do take on a team. So step two is going above and beyond. So we already talked about this a little bit, but you're succeeding now while you prepare for tomorrow. And so I have on here, be sure your house is in order. I don't know if we have any Game of Thrones fans on the call, but a big Game of Thrones fan here. And we talk a lot about the houses on the show. But, you know, I think this is a quote that a good friend of mine in the industry used. It's like before, it's similar to what I said earlier, but you want to make sure your house is in order, whether it's your department, your position, before you go ahead and try to take on other houses or more responsibility. And so if you consistently do that and you're succeeding and you're producing results and doing it the right way, have an eye towards what's next. And so start to observe from afar and be a sponge. And I think the first step after you've been selling and been successful as a salesperson now for a little bit is, you know, whether you're at an event, it's a game night, you're around the leadership team, start to just observe the way that they go about their business, observe the way that they lead a meeting, observe kind of when they roll out a new campaign or a new initiative, start to think about the why behind the things that they're doing. And you'll start to just naturally pick up on some things and just be observant. And then I have on here coffees, lunches, and breakfast, because your role right now, as you try to get to this spot, is a salesperson. So from during money hours, when you're in the office, you got to be laser focused on your current job, which is selling, but your coffees, your lunches and breakfast and dinners and hanging around after an event and talking to leadership are great opportunities to get some one-on-one FaceTime with your leadership team and start to just ask some questions. Ask to take them to coffee, ask to take them to lunch, pick their brain on their personal journey. If you have a question about something that they rolled out, you definitely don't want to ask it or question it in front of your entire department, but pull them aside and say, hey, like, that's a really interesting initiative. I'm curious, why are we doing it that way? Or maybe you can teach me more about this. Start to just, you know, spend some time with your leadership team and ask a lot of questions. And be observant in meetings and watch the way that they go about their business, not just your immediate boss, but their boss and their boss's boss. And start to just become a student more than anything while you're focused on day-to-day selling at a high level. Then once you start to be observant and you pick up on things, you want to start to ask some questions. So again, I already mentioned this, but your boss, or your VP or the senior VP, they'll be very, very clear with kind of the vision of your individual unit and your department as a whole. And so be thinking about like how you can play your part in helping further the department as a whole. You know, I think when you're a seller, you're focused on your individual business. And I think that's great. And we all need to do that. But as a leader, you have influence over multiple people, multiple pieces of the business, different departments. And so think about your department first. So if your boss says, hey, this is a really important initiative, make it your goal to focus on those things and try to help encourage the team around you to kind of follow your lead. And if you're doing things that are important to your boss that are furthering the department, they're one, they're going to be really pleased. Two, it shows that you're coachable and committed, which I think is great. And the more of that that they do, the more they can point to you as an example of what to do, the more responsibility and the closer you'll get to the leadership team because you're doing the things that they want you doing and you're leading by example first. And so before you're ever in a management role, start to just become close to your bosses, ask them what you can do to help elevate the performance of others and how you can help your boss further their own career. And if you're doing things to help make their life easier, you're going to develop some more influence and you're going to get some more responsibility given to you because you're leading by example and you're helping them accomplish their goals. And so I think that's a really important step in this process. But this step, to sort of summarize, maintain your focus on selling, but have an eye for the future and being observant, asking questions and helping your boss further your individual department. So then once you kind of start to get a little bit closer to it, I think you got to make that ask to get some experience. Don't decide until you've tried. And so this is a quote that I like to use. I'm a big believer that don't make any decisions until you've gotten a little bit of experience. And so a lot of people think, you know, they want to get into management and they think it's cool to lead a team and, you know, it'd be fun. You get the title, you're a leader, you know, oftentimes you're making more money. You know, I don't know that those things are great. I don't know that that's kind of the primary reason to get into management. There's a lot of things, although it's perceived as kind of a sexy position, there's a lot of things that aren't sexy about managing and leading a team. You know, I think you're responsible for other people with different personalities and you're responsible for their results. And so there's a lot of administrative things that come with leadership that a lot of people don't realize. And so don't make a decision about where you're going to go professionally with your career until you've gotten some of that experience. And so where possible, work with your boss to gain some of that quote unquote leadership experience. And what I mean by that is there's a lot of elements to leadership. There's a lot of elements to management, and start to slowly ask where you can get involved. And even if it's just observing them during certain management related activities, or if they give you some experience doing it yourself, whatever you can do to get closer to that process is gonna be really helpful for you. And so I've listed a number of things here. For those of you following on the computer, you can probably see them. For those of you not, I'll kind of read through them. A lot of teams have a junior accountability partner program or some sort of mentoring program where you can work with a couple younger reps, whether it's just being a senior mentor to them, giving advice, helping them accomplish their goals, whether it's training, whatever really they need to succeed. You kind of have people that don't report to you, but that you're leading. And I think just going through that process will be valuable because you're really thinking about how you can help someone else accomplish their goals, which is the foundation of leadership and managing people. So I think getting involved in a program like that is really important. Assisting with recruiting. I think a lot of inside sales programs have sort of a junior management training program of some sort. So definitely get involved in that. A lot of the focal points of that is just really working with the inside sales reps or the junior reps on leading training initiatives for them, running a book club for them, being a mentor to them, helping do some phone screening. When they bring in people to interview for a job, maybe you're involved giving them a tour. You're just starting to get a little bit closer to that process. Oftentimes you're brought into the decision-making process to share your feedback on what you thought of a candidate. You know, there's a lot of things, valuable things that you'll learn through a program like that. When you're training, it's great experience to think about how you can build a presentation or coach a group of people and help them succeed because everybody operates a little bit differently. So leading trainings, getting involved in those training or those management training programs are important. The biggest thing for me is getting involved in the mission of the department. So every department has big pillars, the things that are a focal point, really inserting yourself into that process and asking how you can how you can get involved in furthering the success of the unit, not just how you can get better selling more tickets or selling more hospitality, selling more sponsorships. It's like, hey, what are you guys working on big picture? How can I help you accomplish your goals? Very similar to the way we're doing it on the sales side, but really work hand in hand with your boss to get some of that experience and to further the department as a whole. And you want to actively bring new ideas and initiatives to the table. Quick example of my personal story. So at the Suns, we had three properties at the time. So we had the Suns, we had the Mercury, which is our women's team, and we had the Phoenix Roadrunners, which were a minor league, ECHL minor league hockey team. And our focus a lot of the time was on the Suns and a little bit more on the Mercury and the Roadrunners. Just it was very difficult to manage all three properties, so they didn't get as much focus as everything else. And so I made the ask. I said, hey, would you give me the opportunity to take a shot at building the group sales strategy and the campaign for the Roadrunners? Can I create the brochure? Can I roll out the pricing and everything to the staff? Can I roll out the sales script that we're going to use to make the calls? I wasn't managing people. I wasn't in management, but I saw an opportunity there that I thought we were missing. I thought it was a good chance for me to get a little bit of experience. And I asked my boss to observe me through that process. And I learned a lot about talking in front of a group. I learned a lot about working with different departments. I learned a lot about pricing and strategy and thinking bigger picture outside of just my immediate day-to-day of selling. And I learned a ton through it. And that campaign might have only generated, a couple hundred grand relative to the millions we did on the Sun side. So it wasn't always about the money, but it was about the experience that I was gaining. And I learned a ton through that process. And so think about your department, work hand in hand with your boss. Are there things that he or she can't get to that you can assist with? And think about how you can get some of that experience going through becoming a manager, working with your peers and working cross-departmentally to accomplish common goals for your boss. I think are great ways to get some of that experience. Lead topics of discussion and meetings. So whether it's bringing an article, running a campaign where you, or not a campaign, but an initiative where you're going to read a book and do a report on it to try to get better. Roll out a new script, practice your rebuttals to objections, lead a campaign. I mean, there's a ton of things you can do within your sales process to sort of lead by example. And you don't want to abuse this and have it be like where you're doing it every meeting, but work hand in hand with your boss. And if there's something that you think you can do, ask them in advance, say, hey, do you mind if I talk through this in the next meeting? They say yes, you get into the meeting, they'll tee you up, kind of frame it. People will know you're a leader on that initiative. You'll have the platform to do it. And people will start to naturally come to you on items related to that initiative. And so I think there's a lot of things that you can do, but you have to, once you've been selling now for a while, you've been observing, you've asked the questions, you know this is what you want, you got to get some of this experience. And so this is the part where I think a lot of people, once they go through it, it becomes challenging because now you have to make a decision on what you want to do. And I think at some point you got to make a commitment. Which way are you going to go? And you have to evaluate all your experience to date. And I think this comes 3 or 4 years into your career. So now you've sold for a while. Now you've been learning about management. You've got some experience in management. You're probably a top performer on the sales side. So at this point, you're kind of at a fork in the road and you got to make a commitment. You got to make a decision. So do you want to sell high dollar? And high dollar means, selling premium, selling suite leases, selling sponsorships, high dollar selling, a lot of money in that. These are deals that get recognized in the Sports Business Journal. If you're selling large marketing partnerships and six-figure deals, multi-year agreements, I mean, this is really, that's kind of the peak of, selling in sports. And a lot of people love the thrill of that and the chase of that. And you're responsible for yourself and for your own business and for your own commissions. And, there's a lot of people that really enjoy selling high dollar. Do you want to go that route or do you want to go the management route? And when you're managing, you're not responsible for your own business day to day. You're now responsible for a team of people that you work together with to accomplish a common goal. And so, management can look a lot of different ways. I mean, there can be different departments, could be small teams, large teams, multiple teams. But the central difference in both of these, which I think it's important you make a commitment here, is do you want to be responsible for your own business and selling and just kind of being left alone with the administrative stuff and go out and just sell and make your money? Or do you want to be, part of a management team that helps develop a strategy and an initiative to further the department? And do you want to make a positive impact on others and help them grow their career? And so, management's a very selfless act in a lot of ways. You're really helping others in hopes that it can ultimately help you, but you have to make that commitment. I have it on here. We've already kind of talked through this, but high dollar selling, you run your own business, responsible for your sales numbers, and you're reliant on only yourself to hit your goals and make your money. Whereas management, you're leading a team of different people towards a common goal. You're responsible for everybody on your team's performance, and you're relying on them to hit their goals. So ultimately you make your goals and you make kind of your money. And so once you have the experience now, you've done both. Now you've been selling, so you kind of know what that's all about, and you kind of maybe want to keep going there. But now that you've got some management experience, you know, is that a path that you want to pursue? And then you got to make a commitment and you got to go one way or the other. For me, I always tell people this is the toughest part, because there's elements of both of these that people probably like, and there's some roles that allow you to do both. But a lot of management roles and higher level management roles don't have a high sales goal or high sales focus and component to them. So if you're going to go the management route, sometimes, you know, you're focused just on managing. And so this is the part you can't take lightly. You really got to think about this carefully. And then once you know what you want to do, make that commitment. For me, once I started getting into management, I absolutely fell in love with it. I loved helping others. I loved coaching and teaching and mentoring. And I knew that the light bulb went off, and I just couldn't imagine ever doing anything else. And so for me, it wasn't difficult. I talked to a lot of people that really struggle with this, and they kind of go back and forth. But I think it's important, once you get to this point, you make a commitment and you go forward. And then once you know what you want to do, you really want to prepare for the job that you want before you get it. And so once you know what you want to do, it's communicate your goals to your boss. So using my story, I was a group sales account executive. I sold groups for 4 years. I was getting experience as a manager, leading our night call sales program. I was helping recruit and train the inside sales team. I was developing my skills as a leader, and I had been performing at a really high level selling group tickets. And so for me, I saw my entry into management as a group sales director, where I basically managed the group sales team. I knew that business really well, and I thought it was a natural next step for me. If you're an account executive over the season ticket business, and you've been focused on seasons, and you've been working closely with inside sales management could be a way to go. If you've been in premium now for a while and you want to get into management, I think being a premium sales manager could be a way to go. Season ticket sales manager could be a way to go. Every department, every organization is structured slightly differently. But this, now it's like, all right, I want to get into management. So where are my options and what am I going to be the best at? And then communicate your goals to your boss. And then once you do, it's saying, hey, here's where I'm at now. Here's where I want to be. What needs to happen between now and then to get me ultimately to my goal? And what's holding me back? So what do I need to do between now and then? Even if there's not a job open, you're not out there applying for jobs. You're simply just trying to figure out, like, all right, that's where I want to go. What do I need to do to get there? And ask your boss for feedback. And he or she will tell you some of the things that you need to work on. And then it's just a matter of following their lead, follow your leader. They'll roll out the plan and then just focus on executing that. Going back to step one, if you're still in a sales role, you got to keep selling at a high level. And where you have some extra time, you got to be starting to gain some of the things that you're going to need to get to that role that you want. I'm a big believer in this. Act the part before you get there. What I mean by that, dress for success. Be observant of your leadership team. How do they look? How do they act? Follow their lead in a lot of ways, and they have influence over the entire department. And if you aspire to be like them or part of that team, you want to start to look that part and lead by example and do a lot of the things they're asking the staff to do, and start to associate yourself with the right people. And understanding, and this is very difficult, this was for me, but understand that the focus of management and what's important to them is very different than what's important to the sales people individually. You know, management has to make decisions that are best for the department as a whole. And the salesperson has to think about, you know, what's best for me right now. And so things like commission percentages and pricing, and like, although those might be good for the department, sometimes as a seller, you're like, you know what, I don't like that. It's going to make my job a little bit more difficult. And so sometimes there is a conflict of interest there. And as much as I would love to say everybody's always on the same page, there's always things that come up where you're like, I don't know that I necessarily agree with that. What I mean by this part of it is like associating with the right people. You know, you kind of need to make a decision which way you're going to go. It's very difficult to be on both sides of the fence. And so, you know, when you associate with the right people, you know, you start to spend more time with leadership, you start to lead more meetings, you start to lead by example. You might have people around you that try to knock you down. This happened for me personally, and I feel comfortable sharing this with you. But like I used to get teased a little bit a long time ago when I was kind of in that role where I was trying to get into management. I was hanging with management a lot. I was, you know, speaking up, really vocal in meetings, and I was trying to take on new things. And, you know, I had a couple people knocking me down, saying that I was in management's pocket and calling me, you know, a Boy Scout and, you know, all these things and trying to, you know, knock me down and, you know, hurt my ability to get where I wanted to go. And I had a lot of friends that I was very, very close to that, you know, didn't want to hang out with me as much. And so I, unfortunately, I lost a couple friendships and people that were peers of mine that, you know, didn't really want to associate with or hang with management. And as I started to hang with the management folks, I started to lose some of that. So it's important that you really evaluate your surroundings and put yourself around or associate yourself with people that are going to make you better, people that are going to believe in you. They're going to train, develop, coach, and push you to accomplish your goals. And what I lost maybe with a couple friends that I used to hang out with on the weekend, I more than made up for by, you know, getting some great friends at the leadership level that have gone on to have great careers in the industry that I'm still very, very close to today. So that process is challenging, especially if you do it internally with one team. But you should take a lot of pride knowing that if you associate yourself with the right people and people that you want to be like, everything else is going to work out great for you. Trying to get face time with leadership, we've already talked about that. Thinking about how you can elevate the team's performance, bring new ideas, act on them, all that stuff is great. You don't need to have a management title to be a leader. So leading by example, top seller if you can, leading trainings, leading coachings, leading other departmental initiatives, be thinking about ways you can impact the department before you have the title. Being observant, getting some experience and getting regular feedback. We've talked about this a little bit. There's a lot of things, hiring, firing, having tough conversations, business planning, leading trainings, talking in front of a large group, budgeting. These are all things that are paramount to being a manager. And when you're leading a team, these are all things you're going to have to do. And so getting involved in those, watching your boss have tough conversations, being a part of making an offer, being a part of having to let somebody go where you can. These are all things, whether it's an intern, whether it's somebody senior level on a different team. Ask where you can be observant and how you can get some experience practicing some of those things, because they're all going to be important for you once you make that move. So in this step, it's you're to that point, communicate where you want to go, identify the gap, and focus on trying to fill it. And then once you're there, it's just wait for your moment. Be in it for the right reasons. We mentioned it's a selfless job. Carefully evaluate your management move. It's not always about speed. It's about the opportunity. Thinking about where you're going to learn, grow, be developed the most and have the opportunity to make an impact and put your stamp on something. Where will you have the best opportunity to succeed? And it's not always about the money. It's not always about the title. It's about aligning your philosophy and your vision with your leadership team and making sure that you're going to mesh well. You know, if you are passionate about a culture that's relationship building and face-to-face meetings and you're interviewing for a job with a team that's more transactional, that believes in selling over the phone, you know, you gotta ask yourself, like, although it's a management role, like, is that the right environment for you? Is that what you believe in? Is that kind of what you want for your team? And so little things like that, you wanna be very, very observant on. Are you gonna have the ability to make an impact? And are you gonna have the resources to, if you're an inside sales manager, to travel and recruit, to do team building activities with your team, to, you know, get out of the box and have some fun. Like, I mean, little things like that culturally, make sure you're interviewing them as much as they're interviewing you and make sure there's a good philosophical fit there before making that move. But you want to be careful with evaluating that. It goes with that, but you got to be patient. Take care of your house first. It's just a matter of time. If you're a top seller, you're in a good program, you've been developing these skills, you're ready for that move. It's just a matter of time before somebody comes and finds you. And make your boss part of that process. And so if you've communicated your goals throughout, it's really on them to try to create that for you internally. And if they can't, or you've hit a block, then making sure that they're, you know, if someone comes calling for you, they're part of that process. They know you've been working towards this. They can be a great advocate for you getting to another organization and helping you get to the next step in your career. But you got to be patient and you got to be confident. It's always a learning curve. But you got to understand that the 4, 5, 6 years, 3 years that you've been working in the industry, you've been gaining experience the whole time. As a seller, you've been observing and learning. You've been getting some experience. Like, although you haven't managed a staff or you've been in management yet, you've pretty much been an extension of management for the last year plus, and you're ready for this opportunity. So don't hold back. speak confidently. There's always going to be things you can learn. You're never going to have it all perfected. But if you sit down for that interview, you want it, you ask for it, and you speak with some conviction, you talk about how this is the opportunity you've been working towards the last 2, 3, 4 years, and you want that opportunity, someone's going to give you that shot. And once you get it, believe in your ability. Don't look back. It's going to be challenges. There's going to be bumps. But you got to understand this has been something you've been working on for years, and you're ready for that moment. So it's just a matter of finding the right one. In closing, keys to success, be great at your current role first. Don't look too far into the future. Remember the story. If you want to get more responsibility, it's tough to get it if you're just an average or below average performer at your current role. They're going to tell you, you know, hit your goals first before you do anything else. And so whether you're in inside sales, the key to getting promoted is going to be, you know, hitting your number as well and being great as a salesperson. When you're an account executive, in terms of getting to a senior account executive, they're going to evaluate that based on performance. So before you even think about, you know, when you get to be inside sales or an AE, you don't just skip a couple roles and go right to management in most cases. And so you got to look at it one step at a time. Each role you get to, how do I be the best on my team? How do I be the best in my league? And how do I be the best in sports at what I'm doing now? And then once you're getting to that point, then you can start to take on some of that extra responsibility. But be great in your current role first. Get experience before you decide your path. I think this is important. So involved in the hiring process, training, coaching, teaching, leading in meetings, start to act like you are a manager before you're there. And a lot of people, or some people, don't like it. And they're like, hey, you know what? That's not for me. I'd rather not deal with that. And then they go sell premium. I think that's great. At least you know before you make that decision. But you have to get some of that experience before you decide. Communicate with your boss where you want to go. Identify those gaps and then work to fill them. And then once you fill those gaps, it's just a matter of being patient, waiting for your opportunity. Prepare for that next role before you get it. Act the part. Be an extension of leadership. Dress for success. Be in early, stay late, lead trainings, volunteer for events. Be kind of a model citizen on your team. And not only will you be producing at a high level, but you'll be doing it the right way. And you know, you got to understand that if you're going to get promoted into a role like inside sales manager, where you're tasked with teaching people how to, not just how to sell, but how to sell the right way and your way, you got to show that you can follow that direction as well. So if you're not doing the things that people are asking of you, I might not have faith that you're going to teach others to do that as well. So you got to prepare for that. And it's hard to walk both sides of the fence. You got to make that decision and go one way or the other. And once you do, don't look back. And it's just a matter of being patient, waiting for the right opportunity. So that's really all that I had. There's a lot more here. You know, it's hard to squeeze that topic into 25 minutes here or 30 minutes. I didn't want to go too long. I wanted to make sure I took some questions. So I guess at this point in the program, that's all of my presentation. I'm happy to take as many questions as you have. Best way to do that is there's a chat function if you're on the computer where you can just open the chat. You can type in your question, hit enter, and it will come through. So I'll give you a minute or so to type any sort of questions that you have, and I'm happy to address any of those if you have them. So I'll give you a minute there, and then we can kind of pick up and keep going, and then I'll wrap it up. Feel free if you need to hop off. I know we're a little bit long already. Feel free to do so. But I appreciate all of you being here. Looks like we got a couple questions coming in. So I'm going to, let's see. All right, so I'm going to pause the screen share. All right, got a question from Mike in Chicago. What's the best way to go about getting FaceTime with top level leadership? I interact with our director of sales every day, but our EVP of sales and marketing is also the CEO of another company, so his time is split. What would you say might be the best way to approach getting that FaceTime? It's a good question, Mike. One thing I didn't mention was you never want to jump your boss too. So I think making your boss part of that process. I think if you know your commitment to your boss is that you're going to be great in your current role and you're going to do whatever you can to hit your sales numbers and accomplish your objectives. And in turn, you're going to help your boss elevate the department and accomplish their goals. And so for me, it was always like, hey, if I'm doing all these things, like, can you help me with this? Like, here's ultimately where I want to go. I'd love to pick their brain. What do you recommend? And Mike, so it's trying to work with your boss. They probably know and are maybe a little bit closer to that EVP than you are. So bring them into the process and see if they can help you get some of that face time. Doesn't have to be a full meeting. Maybe it can be a quick coffee. Maybe he's going to be at an event. Maybe you can grab him for 10 minutes after a meeting. But really bring in your boss to try to broker that conversation. And if the organization cares about developing people and getting you ultimately to where you want to go, and you've been doing your part, then I have a good feeling they're gonna help you broker that meeting, and hopefully it's valuable for you. So that'd be my recommendation there. Aaron in Boston, what do you think is essential in a sales management interview for a business plan, 30-60-90 plan, for example? So, you know, I think when you're interviewing for a leadership position, there's a couple things I would be curious to know if I'm a VP and I'm hiring for that role. It's one, it's first, what kind of position is it? Is it a group sales manager? Is it an inside sales manager? Is it a premium sales manager? You know, I'm very, very curious to know, you know, what your philosophy is around training, development, people, coaching. I'd be really, really diving in deep there. So I think having examples of you leading inside sales reps, or you leading a campaign or leading an initiative, I think is really important. I think it's also like recruiting and interviewing is going to be valuable across, you know, it's always about people. So what experience do you have managing a team, but interviewing and being involved in the hiring process, I think would be great. I'm a big fan of 30, 60, 90 day plans. I would always have one. It's always better to be over-prepared. So I think, Aaron, it's a combination of a 30, 60, 90 day plan, examples of campaigns and things that you've managed. Maybe you haven't managed people, but if you've managed an initiative, you managed a campaign, like for me, for example, I helped the inside sales team at the Sun sell group tickets. So I trained them on how to sell groups. I wasn't managing a team, but I managed that initiative. So I had my script. That campaign did a few hundred grand in revenue. And so I could point directly to like, hey, here's what I did. I took these 15 people. I took them from knowing nothing about group sales. I taught them the process. They went out and executed. They sold this amount. And it's the same thing that you would be doing if you manage a team full time. And so be looking at the experiences that you gained and find a way to highlight those through the interview process. And there's a lot of ways you can have that experience without actually being a full-time manager yourself and having direct reports. So that's kind of how I would prepare for a leadership interview. Dustin in Sacramento, you mentioned a light bulb went off and when you fell in love with management. What was it that made you realize you love management more than your love for sales? Dustin, it's a great question. Everybody's different here. I can't really describe it. I just think like, and this is part of why I left the Suns too, to start my own business. I was a management major in school. Every team I was on, I was always, one of the captains. I always loved coordinating a group of people and working together as a team to accomplish a common goal. I guess I had some natural leadership characteristics, but I always thought of myself as a people person. And I loved working with people. I loved helping other people. And the more that I got into it, the more I saw the impact I could make on people's lives and their careers, and watching them go from taking a job and never being in sales before to accomplishing their goals and getting promoted. It was worth more to me than any sale and any amount of money. And I started to have a true passion. What I started to realize is my calling, I felt like was helping others, you know, and mentoring, coaching, developing and training and helping other people accomplish their goals. And so, you know, once I started getting the experience, then the light bulb went off and I was like, yep, I thought this is what I wanted. Now I definitely know this is what I wanted. And so I don't know if that answers your question, but I love sales. I love the thrill of that. And there were definitely some times that I missed it, but I still was involved in the sales process. Just instead of doing it for myself, I was doing it for others, which made me happy. And it's kind of just, that's my personal story. And I'm sure everyone has something similar, but for me, that's kind of what clicks. I got another question from Drew in Texas. What advice do you have for someone who sells full menu? For example, I have spent 2 seasons selling full menu, including partnerships. I don't have a specific focus. Is there something specific I should focus on? Drew, I think, you know, the benefit of the role that you're in now is that, you know, you have experience doing both and you're wearing a lot of hats. And I think one of the true benefits of, working in a minor league situation or a smaller market team is that you do get experience in all those things. So you're selling sponsorships, you're selling fulls, partials, you're selling groups, you're probably involved in leading and training. So you're already getting a lot of those skill sets. But I think once you get to a full-time management role, and if you go to a larger market professional team, it's much more specialized. And so it's really thinking about, all right, what am I doing now? What do I enjoy the most about what I'm doing now? And what do I see as my next step? And so it's some self-reflection. It's looking at your day-to-day job. Like, you know, do you want to sell partnerships full-time and do it on a larger scale in a larger market? Would you rather, you know, if you enjoy working with the younger reps and interns and helping them succeed, maybe management's the route for you. Only you can make those decisions, Drew. But, you know, I think the value of the role that you're in is that you're doing a lot. But because you're so wide, I would say, you know, you're probably not there on any one of those things. So it's trying to think about, what do you enjoy the most? What do you want to do more of? What do you want to do less of? And you know, the things you want to do more of, start to be observant and talk to people in the industry and say, hey, this is kind of what I want to do. What do I need to do to get there? Talk to your boss. Same thing. Identify the job, identify the gaps, and then work to fill them, and then try to become an expert in one of those areas if you can. And then when you go and apply for those jobs, you have a little bit more meat and a little bit more leverage because you're a little bit more specialized and you've been a little bit more successful at one or two of those things versus trying to be great at all of them, if that kind of makes sense. I think that's it. Any other questions? Feel free to bring them through. Actually, we got one more coming through from David in Sacramento. Only been in sports for a year. One thing I've seen is most individuals in management have grown by gaining mentors throughout the industry. How important is finding mentors been to your growth into management, as well as your growth personally? It's huge, David. For me, I looked around and I found people in the industry that I wanted to be like. And I was very lucky in Phoenix. I had a great leadership team, all of which have gone on to lead other teams and other departments and other markets. And I saw the way that they acted and the way they went about their business. And, you know, I just wanted to be like them. And then as I went to industry conferences, I started to see other people and meet other people. And I've always been really fascinated by great leaders and really humble enough to know that I'm not there yet and still not there yet and always can try to get better as a leader. And so for me, I had a number of mentors and people that I talked to frequently about how they got to their role, challenges they felt along the way, and their recommendations and thoughts for me about future jobs and where I could go. And it was a huge resource for me. And every time I interviewed for a position, I always had three or four people I would always go to get their thoughts on it. And having a sounding board there and people in your corner that can help guide you is really important. So I'm a big believer in mentors. It's all about associating with the right people and people that you want to be like and that you respect. So I think that's important. Another one from Matt in Phoenix. When you are being patient, keeping your eyes out for management positions, what are a few things that you value to distinguish a good opportunity for career growth? So I think, Matt, if I'm kind of reading that correctly, so how do you know what's the right job for you? You know, how do you know? I think if you look at it, and let's say you want to be an inside sales manager, there's probably, you know, 150 of those roles in sports, right? So different markets, pro, college, hockey, baseball, basketball. The sports themselves are very different, but the sports business is very similar. So what I mean by that is a lot of those roles are very similar in terms of comp, similar in terms of responsibility. And so the things that really stand out, Matt, are the people and the opportunity. And so who are you going to learn from? Are you going to have the ability to make an impact? If you go into a role that's already well established, team's already hired, they're already hitting all their goals, it's a high performing team, you got to ask yourself, like, you know, if you come in with this great strategy, how much further can you take it? If you go to a team that has multiple properties, and let's say they're sold out on the NBA side, but they've got a hockey team, you know, if you come into the role and your focus is on selling minor league hockey in a smaller market, is that kind of what you wanted? You know, so I think there's nuances of every role, but it's not about the title. It's not about the money. It's about, to me, it's about the people you learn from, how you're going to grow and be developed. Are you going to have the resources to make an impact? And what's the situation that you're stepping into, and evaluating all of those things and really making sure you check all those boxes. So when you're there being observant of their culture and their philosophy and making sure that when you make that jump, if you're going to be in management, you're an extension of the current management team, making sure you guys align philosophically, I think is really important. Chris, in Utah, I'm in an organization where there's not much room for advancement due to lack of positions being available. What's the best way to acquire management qualities within a club that doesn't actively promote? Chris, I think you can gain a lot of those experiences without being a manager yourself. You know, so I think it's, you know, those roles might be filled, but I would argue that if you work closely with your current boss, there's probably things within your department that they either don't have time to do, or if you come with ideas and some new things that you think can further your department, they might let you run with it. So I would still look at it as like, all right, well, there might not be a job there for me right now, but I'm in a great position. I'm a leader on staff. How can I further the department and simultaneously, you know, grow my skill sets as well? So I would look strategically at your current business and ask yourself, is there anything I can be doing to try to develop my managerial skills? And then, you know, you might get to a place where you've been a high performing salesperson, you've developed your skill sets as a leader, and now you're ready to make a move. And then it's evaluating those options and being patient and starting to maybe look at going to a different, different market or doing something a little bit different. So that'd be my advice in your situation. There's always experience that you can gain in your current position to get some of that management experience that you need. That's all we have for questions. In closing here, I'm going to resume the screen share quickly. In closing, for those of you that weren't aware of me or my business, I encourage you to check out my website, sportsbusiness.solutions. Our goal as a company is to try to help people succeed in the business. We have a free company newsletter. Feel free to opt into that. It's got industry tips and a number of things that we share monthly. Follow me on Twitter. I'm at SportsBizBob. I share a tip of the day, industry tips. I write blogs. Connect with me on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram. We're all over that as well. And I would tell you, if you're someone on this call that feels like you're at that point where you're ready to start getting into management, I encourage you to email me. I'm just bob@sportsbusiness.solutions, or LinkedIn message me. If you're ready to make that jump and you're ready to start getting yourself out there, you feel like you're ready to make a move, reach out to me. I'd love to be a resource for you. I'd love to help any way that I can. And I do a lot of recruiting as well. So I'm oftentimes talking to teams about leadership roles and helping them find good talent. So if you're at that point, it's always best to communicate with your current boss first. But let's just have a conversation. I'm happy to point you in the right direction or be a resource for you all professional here moving forward. But that's all I have. Sorry we went long. Great questions. Thanks for being here. Be on the lookout for the next webinar, and hopefully we'll talk to you all of you again here soon. Have a great rest of the day and a great week. Thanks.